Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev, and we look forward to the coming Hanukkah. This week I want to touch on last year's question, and a teretz which somebody had pointed out. Last year we asked the following kasha. We know that Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef Lirai Shloim Echav Ushloim Atzayim. Yahweh's brother and their property is doing. Makes sense? They're far away, perhaps for an extended period. Yaki wanted to know what was going on. However, we have a problem, because Rashi in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chav Tes, where the Pasuk says, Vayashav Ruvein El Habar, and Ruvein returned to the bar, Rashi Yasechon Hoya. Rashi says, where was he? He should have been with all the other brothers at the time Yosef was thrown into the bar. Rashi answers, Higia Yoimai L'shamish Aviv. The brothers took turns being Mishamish the father, and that day was his day, so he had gone to travel to his father to be Mishamish his father. Apparently, every day, a different child took a turn being Mishamish the father. If so, this creates an extraordinary difficulty. Why did he have to send Yosef to see Shloim Echav and Shloim Atzai? Every day, a brother returned, and the brother could tell the father exactly how they're doing. To Pliatsum. Someone pointed out that Tatar Tamima, among his kashas, is this kasha as well. And he explains as follows. He says that Yaakov didn't send Yosef to find out how the brothers are doing, which is certainly Pashup Shan. He suggests that he sent Yosef to the brothers with the following plan. He said, Yosef is angry at the brothers. He is complaining that the brothers are mezalzel in the bnei hashvachais. They don't treat those shvatim that are children of the shvachais well, and that they eat eiver v'nachat. So he told Yosef, go, lirais shloim echav v'shloim atzai. Go take a look at how your brothers are behaving. If you see shloim echav, you'll see how your brothers are behaving, you'll see they're not mezalzel in the bnei hashvachais. They're not mistreating one the other. And also, look at shloim atzai. Look at the sheep. You'll chayshu them for eating eva v'nachai, from cutting pieces off live sheep and eating it. Go see Shloim Atzayin, you'll see the Tzayin are complete. And then that was the true reason he sent him. An interesting drush as a teretz. I still think the kash is better than the teretz, but I let you decide. My second thought on the parasha. We find Yehuda saying to Tamar, wait, ad sheyigdal shelo b'ni. Tamar had married two sons of Yehuda, Er and Einon. Each had died. And Yehuda told Tamar, I'm not going to give you my third son until he gets older. Rashi says that Yehuda was rather disingenuous. He wasn't being honest. He says, 1 minute, Yehuda said, Tamar, two of your husbands died. You're a katlanis. A twice widowed woman. And therefore, in Yehuda's mind, he was not going to give Sheila to Tamar because she was a katlanis who no longer was entitled to marry somebody. Now, obvious difficulties here. First of all, why didn't Yehuda tell the truth to Sheila? I believe the Ramban points out this kasha on Rashi. If Yehuda really meant that the reason was because she's a katlanis, Yehuda should have told Sheila, and Tamar should have told him the reason. Secondly, why did they do chalitza? If there's a mitzvah of yibum, and apparently they kept yibum, why not do chalitza if somebody is ineligible for yibum? Do you do chalitza? So this is a difficulty. We're learning Sefdes Yevamos in Yeshiva this year. And in learning about chalitza, we came to the following chakira, which is found in many paiskim, and has a lot to do with halacha l'maisa. When the Torah gives the option of chalitza, that is, when someone's brother dies later without children, and the surviving brother has a mitzvah of chalitza to the widow, is that a mitzvah, just like shaking a lulav is a mitzvah? Here too is a mitzvah to do chalitza. Or is chalitza a mitzvah like shechita is a mitzvah, like shechting an animal? If you don't want to eat meat, there's no need to shecht an animal. There's no mitzvah to shecht an animal. So too, we could learn that chalitza is a matir. It's something which comes to permit this woman to remarry. As a matir, it's only a mitzvah if she wants to remarry. remarry, and there's no mitzvah. Well, the question then becomes, is chalitza a mitzvah like mitzvah lulav? Or is it a mitzvah like shechita, which is a matir? The nafkamina applies very often today. We have an elderly couple, and the husband dies. And the wife says, why should I do chalitza? I am not going to remarry anyway. I have no plans to remarry. Do we say dar, it's a mitzvah? Just like there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav, there's a mitzvah of chalitza, and do it anyway. Or do we say, no, you're right, chalitza is a matir, and there's no reason to do something that's a matir. Three gedolei achrayim hold that chalitza is only a matir. They are the Nadi Yehuda, some sefer, and Rav Yishka Hanan. All three hold that al pi halacha, it's a matir, and there's no need to do it if a woman does not want to remarry. So sefer brings that al pi kabbalah, there's an inyan to do it anyhow, but he says it's not an obligation, but therefore it's only a matir. The Nitziv in the Hamik Shaila argues vehemently and brings what appear to be excellent rayas that indeed it's a mitzvah. But we're not coming to Pascha now. We're dealing with the Nadi Yehuda. The Nadi Yehuda says that chalitza is only a matir. If you don't plan to remarry, then there's no need to do chalitza. Says the Nadi Yehuda, very geshmak, about Shaila. In his Shuvah, he says, why didn't Shaila do chalitza? Because Tamar was a katlanis anyway. She could not remarry. And a woman who can't remarry has no need for a chalitza. Because the Nadi Yehuda l'shitasai maintains that it's only a matir. And therefore, if there's no plan to remarry, then there would be no reason to do chalitza. So that answers at least one question. The question of why didn't they do chalitza? But wait, and then Yehuda adds. The Yehuda says that in the case of a katlanis falling to Yibam, a person is allowed to marry the katlanis. Although marrying a katlanis is a sakana, but there's a concept of shema mitzvah layeda davara. And because of that, a person is permitted to do chalitza, is rather permitted to do yibum, in a case where it's a mitzvah even if the woman is a katlanis. If so, says Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't Shelah marry Tamar? Wait, actually, Yigdal Shelah b'ni. The halacha is that when someone's a katan, we're still not sure if he's going to bring Shnei Saris, if he's going to be a normal adult male, or maybe he'll be a Saris, he'll be someone unable to have children, and who's ineligible to do Yibam. So Yehuda told Tamar, she did tell Tamar, Yehuda did tell Tamar the truth. He said, Tamten Ashigdal Shela, wait until he gets older. And as Rashi says, you're a katlanis. I have no plan for you to marry Shela unless he grows up. Hashtag Saris, it becomes clear that it's a mitzvah. And at that time, then you could do Yibum. So that's true that Yehuda did tell the truth. He said both, you're a katlanis, and wait Ashigdal Shela B'ni. And at that time, if, in fact, Shela is eligible for Yibam, then he could do Yibam. So it's very geshmak and Nadi Yehuda on two fronts, on the Chalitza front and on the Yibam front. So these are two thoughts regarding Parshas Vayeshev. Let me move on to a thought regarding the upcoming Hanukkah. I think it's very important to take something before Hanukkah to work on. Hanukkah is a time that Malacha is mutter. Most people go to work on Hanukkah. On the day off on Sunday, are busy with beautiful families, simchas, or get-togethers and shul. And therefore, it's easy for Hanukkah to pass without a person really taking note. The main side of the Hanukkah observance is Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. The fact that the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was reintroduced and done so in a very beautiful life. And therefore, it seems to me that Hanukkah should be a time to work on our Avodah, on our Tefillah, making a Chanukas HaMikdash, and strengthening our davening, specifically in the Avodah of davening. The Bakasha Tzrachim, asking for things in davening, is something we do well. But Avodah, to connect to the Rabbeinu Shloim and attribute everything to Hashem, should be a job of the Hanukkah davening. Let me tell you a vart on Al-Hanisim. There There are a number of unusual things about Al-Anisim. Al-Anisim is unusual in where it's placed. As you know, on Yom Tovim or Rosh Chodesh, we say Al-Viyavai, we put in a different bracha. And here, when we say Al-Anisim, we put it into Maidim, the same thing in benching. Both Shabbos and Yom Tov and even Rosh Chodesh have additions that are added in one spot. Al-Anisim is added in another place. This is the major difference between Al-Anisim and the other main Hamura, the other times we mention the occasion. There are a number of additional differences. By explaining this, all the additional differences will become clear. There's a major difference between Al-Hanisim and other times of Al-Hamichya. There's another difference. If one forgets Al-Hanisim, he's allowed to add it in the Harachamons at the end. Shulchan Aruch Simin Tov Reish Pei Bei says, if you forgot Al-Hanisim, when you get to the Harachamon, say Harachamon Hu Yasal Al-Hanisim. You can eat it later. There is no such thing in Amaura. If you get Ritzayu Yalaviyavai, there's no makeup place to say eat it later. And the answer is simple. Al-Anisim is Haidah. It happens to be, there is a second part of benching where we mention Haidah. And therefore, you can eat it later. You see, when you understand the insight of Al-Anisim, that it's a concept of Haidah, then the various questions, the differences that come up, are differences that are memela understood, or easily understood. If one forgot Ritzei or Yalaviyavai in benching, there's a special bracha to add after Bani Yerushalayim. And that bracha printed in some Siddurim is added between Bani Yerushalayim and the following bracha. The Chanukah Purim, there is no such bracha. Why? You can't say because it's not ma'akiv if you forget Al-Anisim. Because it's not ma'akiv if you forget Yalaviyavai either, a Rosh Chodesh. And yet, there is a bracha that's added. Why is there no such bracha for Al-Anisim? Again, the answer is simple. Because Al-Anisim can only be added as a Brichas Haidah, as part of Haidah, and not in a place that has no connection for Haidah. The message, of course, is that the concept of Al-Anisim is the recognition that everything comes from the Bari Olam, which is the Avodah of Davening, part of Davening, which is really the crucial piece of Davening. And perhaps an appreciation of Al-Anisim will help us be able to be Mechadim in the Shemina Esrei to thank the Bari Olam, who guides us through this very long Golos, the Rachama of Harabin. I hope you all have a wonderful and meaningful Hanukkah. I'm looking forward next Thursday on Hanukkah to talking to you again. Good Shabbos to all.